which is left. We use old fashioned left in America, and you have metric left.
Conversion rights, it is the side closest to me.
Okay.
Very good. Like 5-4.
The tattoo that we're right here.
My name is Jeffrey Rowland. I do two comics called Wigu and Overcompensating. I'm with these people, and we're all in the room down at the end of the hall in case
the one with the closed door right now.
We're from Massachusetts in America.
Which is kind of like Canada.
I'm Joe Camo, and I do Software World, which is on the internet and not in the same room.
My name is Ryan North, and I do a comic called Dinosaur Comics.
Woo!
Where do you live?
I live in Toronto.
I'm Rob Kugler. I'm one of the co-creators of Butternut Squash. You may notice we have fancy new t-shirts.
T-shirts?
Yes, I know. And also from Toronto.
Well, I'm not getting a clap from. I'm from West Virginia.
Where?
Americans don't even know where it is.
We'll clap slower.
Thank you, Rob. Danielle Corsetto, I do Girls with Slingshots.
Woo!
Oh, love that guy.
My name is Matt Forsyth, and I do a comic called The Jingle Goat, and I have a fancy new t-shirt. It doesn't have anything to do with my comic.
That's the best kind.
My name is Megan Grant. I do a comic called Octopus Pie, and I'm originally from New York, and I just moved to Massachusetts.
I'm Rich. I go with these sweeties, and I am a t-shirt.
Those are focus.
My name is Chris Hastings. I do The Adventures of Dr. McNinja.
And he's from West Virginia.
And I'm from Ridge, from West Virginia, but now living in New York City.
Which is like Toronto.
I just want to say a quick poll for everybody who is here on the panel. Do you also do print comics? Raise your hand. Because there are people who are now just web comics. I was just curious to see what percentage you had here on this panel. So,
well, I would say we're all primarily web comics.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you've gone to print.
We would print is almost just for, you know, for bands, for after the web, you know.
You can't sell out web print.
Yeah,
the ISP. All
right. But in our heart of hearts, we're internet-y.
Yeah. The internet's like paper that you have to plug in.
Yeah. Yeah, the internet is paper I don't have to store.
Which, by the way, here we're working to bonus you both since I'm here in the future. How do you like to read your comics? Floppy wise, or do you carry your laptop?
It's been done.
You gotta have both, though. You know, I mean, I don't think in 20 years there'll be anything that's not on both formats. I would think.
Okay. And you can sprint is dead.
I personally think nothing can replicate the experience of reading 6 hours of Dinosaur Comics. Your eyes fried after like the 4,000th issue. You're just kind of like,
Have you ever taken ketamine?
It's like listening to Jeff Buckley for 6 hours. Just kind of like, it's awesome, but there's like no reference to it.
I get the occasional email from somebody who has just read the entire archive in the weekend, and it reads like I wrote myself because they're talking like I talk now.
That's it, man. You just become transformed.
I'm going to throw out questions to all of you on economic models.
It's going to take up the whole hour.
Yes, but who might you think? All do webcomics first and then do print second?
Yeah. Usually what you'll find with other people who do print and on the other way is it costs a lot to do a print comic and hope to get an audience. What do you feel about going the other way, going with the web comics? Does it give you more flexibility?
It's kind of like free advertisement. That's how I feel about it. You know, you're like, you're making it free to everybody. You're passing out cards to people. You're putting cards in lavatories and such. I don't do that, but and people check it out. And then if you do start doing a print comic, people will start picking up a print comic. So you've already got a base audience. They're not going to be taking a risk. They know they like your stuff.
Yeah, if you're doing a comic on the web, then it's free. Okay. Then it's free, and if somebody likes it, they send it to their friend. They can go do it for free, and you know, and from there, you build a fan base. And when you come up with a book, they want to give it to someone who maybe they can't stop doing it, or they just want to have it to read when they're on the toilet. If that's yeah, so it's good for building a fan base like that to start on the internet. I think it's
The economic model. But yeah, one thing that I find most advantageous is that you can, when you have an audience online, you can put a book up, and the book doesn't actually have to exist yet. You can just say, this is what the cover looked like, it's going to cost $20, and then you sell it, and those are pre-orders, and you can gauge the actual demand for the book before anything exists. If you have enough money to actually make the book reasonably profitable, you then print the book, sell it, everyone's happy. If you don't, refund the money 100%. Sorry, I didn't make my current agreement. And it's a zero risk.
We should call that the direct market.
Except that this works for the artist. It's kind of like, I mean, personally, I think the fact that we give comics away for free means we ultimately could sell more books. You know, because if you don't have $1 million to market something, I mean, there were people who came to our table today who live in towns that barely have a high school, let alone a bookstore, but they have internet. You know, and they're reading comics, and they wouldn't have read comics if there'd be nowhere for them to get them. But now they'll buy the books. Yeah, I mean, it's like we generate our own demand and then later charge for it. It's almost like putting a TV show on network and then selling DVDs.
It's a pyramid scheme.
It's like a pyramid scheme, except legal.
Sometimes.
But I mean, the people who think that webcomics are going to take print comics out have just always kind of made me laugh. You know, because I think ultimately we're a whole separate ecosystem that produces print comics in the end, if that makes sense.
And if we get to the number that we need to sell 100,000 copies of something a month, then we're going to have to go to, you know, the big established companies anyway, because we didn't handle that kind of volume.
Out of curiosity, is your opinion based upon the fact that an economic model hasn't been created that can make you exclusively webcomic?
I think it would be unsatisfying to be exclusively forever webcomic. I mean, I don't know if anybody would really want
it. I really need to get a print comic out now.
People hate to pay for things that are on the internet. I mean, that's almost like why the internet is there, because you got to pay to have your monthly service anyway, and you need to have like free content on the internet, or what's the point?
Yeah, what are you talking about? Are you talking like about a micropayment or a...
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Because, I mean, even if I was getting money for micropayments, I think people would still ask for books.
Yeah.
They want them.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because the internet, not to get academic about this, but I work at the National Film Board, and it's like a mainstream, traditional, broadcaster, for lack of a better word, and they are wrestling with this. All traditional media are wrestling with the new model. And what the internet is, a gift economy, right? That's the way it exists. You give things away, and you get back in spades. You know, people who don't understand that are getting really stressed out now. And they're, you know, people are trying to fight to make these bit pass payment systems for, like, you know, literally bytes of data and, you know, daily comics. And it's very frustrating because it's not in line with the philosophy of the internet, the way it works. Give your stuff away and it'll come back.
I think that there are models that exist for that kind of free content, and then it's paid for by, like, television is a good example of content that's pretty much, you pay for your cable service the same way you pay for your internet service, and then the shows are free and they make the money off of advertising. I think that for there to be a way that you're making your money exclusively from, like, the distinction between being a webcomic artist and being someone who does, you know, prints or makes the money off of t-shirts is a weird distinction for me, because if we were doing a comic in a newspaper, we would be a cartoonist. and that newspaper is paying you, and so you're getting paid just to be a cartoonist, and so it's more pure in that sense. But that newspaper makes its money through advertising and through that charging the customers, and we're just cutting out the middleman when we make books and selling them to the customers. And I mean, in no way, I think, or like, you know, merchandising, like a cartoon show where they pay the animators, they're pure animators, but where we sell our own merchandise, then, you know, people view it as more t-shirt sales. It's weird. Like, they don't see it as being just as pure, but all we're doing is making it so that a big company's not making the money. We're making the money ourselves out of
desperation. Yeah. We're just making this up as we go along. I mean, you know, if people ask for something, then we'll... I didn't even think about making a book until someone said, hey, you should make a book.
Yeah, same thing. I got 5 or 6 emails saying, where's the book?
And I'm like, okay, maybe I can sell 100 books, and well, got 500 orders for a book, and then, hey, let's make a book.
Do you think this lack of being beholden to sort of an advertising model gives you a greater degree of freedom to cover topics that you want to deal with?
This is open to anybody.
Yeah. Who wants this one?
I know, personally, my comic is would never have survived if it started in print. It has this aggressive, the pictures are always the same, the words change, it's very aggressive aesthetic. If you're seeing it in a daily paper once a day, you think this is dumb, but I want my money back. But when you're seeing it for free, you think this is dumb, but I might go back and read it again.
Growing. Oh, buddy, I get that, and I don't even use the same art every day.
Yeah, but I never had the experience of an editor saying that this is too controversial or too obscene. I do comics about like linguistic jokes, so it's not really pushing that envelope. But I think, I guess the answer is no, I've never really had any issues with that. Anyone?
We have people that tell us if they misspell something.
Yeah, that's great. You know, in 2 minutes, you can misspell it. Yeah.
Within 5 minutes, proofed.
But we're in a rare position here, Jonathan and I, as moderators at OCLB, we have been running a comic book website for Pop Image for years, and we also have a section on there for High Comics. The reason why we know Danielle as well as we do is because we ran her comic for several years ago.
A long time ago. Long time ago when I was 13 or something.
Point being is, in this particular case, Danielle had all the freedom she wanted with us. Mm-hmm. We didn't really put any constraints, it wasn't really our position. However, we have run other comics on the site where I've had to sort of say, that's nice, now rework it because you know, this is us and it's got to reflect on us too. So I'm just thinking from our perspective as editors, we can have our reasons for cutting somebody off, whereas you guys, if you have your own URL and you're doing your own thing, you don't really need to worry about what Ed Matthews is saying. Well,
I always worry about Ed.
Yeah, where, or someone was arguing that when you do make a webcomic, your full-time job is supporting you, you're then dependent on your audience to keep you off the street. And when that happens, you can't really change much in the... This is their argument. You can't do anything new or anything that's controversial because if you lose your audience, you're broke. So you no longer take artistic chances. And I can see where they sort of derive that, but I've never felt like, I can't put this company up because I won't sell a t-shirt today. It's never really ventured. I don't know, has anyone ever changed
actually,
a company?
Though, as a counterpoint, though, John Ellison will scrap an art style and scurry around and start over.
Yeah.
And he seems to get more popular.
He did that several times.
He annoys people to an extent, but he's probably gone through 6 art styles in 6 years.
But it's the same comic at the core. I mean, I can't like start making your comic about, you know, Kirk and Spock and what would happen if they were children.
If you did the future. Actually, I think let's talk.
That would be pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I like writing that down.
Schoolboys, Catholic schoolboys.
And is there a wand?
Well, Jeff, you've gone between several different comics.
Yes,
you started with one, and then you decided you want to do something else, and you did that. And
yeah,
you kind of had sort of experience bouncing back and forth. And I think that your readers followed you.
You lose people, but then you gain people, and I don't know, but no one's really left. But yeah, it was damaging to me when I stopped updating this one comic that a lot of people had grown to love, and then I started this other one mainly that a lot more people were buying things from. So I kind of had to make a decision there, but Yeah, that's right.
I think a lot of people do side projects too.
Yeah.
If you want to do something new, you can just start a side project that's that new thing and work it as though it's its own thing. I guess it's like a magazine where if you decided you wanted to do a completely different magazine, you wouldn't change an existing magazine, you would start a new magazine as well.
Yeah, my main comic started as a side project, and then it outgrew my main comic, so then my side project comic became my main comic.
Yeah. Are we just going to talk about business?
Sort of. It was just, I'm curious about on a creative front. Do you find it more difficult for comic journalism sites or even just regular reviewers outside newspapers to take you seriously until you make a print comic?
I'm pretty sure Wikipedia won't let you have an entry on yourself unless you have like print, legitimate print.
No, it's not.
Is that not true?
They need like 5 or 6. I don't know what the rule is, but like other established like references. You can't just get your friend's email or so. You know to it's, put.
Yeah, it's they're weird. It's not even. Honestly, I think if you're doing a webcomic, the first thing you have to do is stop caring if you're getting reviewed or looked at or anything, and just go for it.
That's
and make people
point.
Happy.
Yeah. It's getting to the point, too, where because traditional magazines and newspapers are struggling with the transition to the internet, and they're looking around and seeing what's successful on the internet, there are a lot of people reading webcomics, and they can't ignore that, and they don't. Like, that's what we do get reviewed in.
Hey, your thing was in The Guardian, right? Like,
oh, yeah. The Software World was in The Guardian, and like Publishers Weekly had a review of the book and stuff.
That's awesome. That's a pretty big paper.
Yeah.
I think there's a different stigma behind comics that have been reviewed. Like, there are a lot of comics that, you know, they get, like, the critical eye all the time, and they get nominated for certain awards, and it gives them this level of prestige so that they have a different kind of reader base, like the kind that looks for that sort of thing. And, yeah, I mean, webcomics do just fine without getting stuff like that, but there's sort of different audiences for that. So if your comic has won an award or been nominated for an Eisner or something, then you will get a certain type of person looking for something that's been filtered to the top that way, whether it's better or not.
But does that, I never heard if that actually helps. So I
think a lot of people get their audience that way.
Yeah, I do much better with, like, 20 people in Live Journal reviewing a comic than I would from... I said I'd do much better with 20 Live Journal reviews than
some kid.
From some kid, you know, telling his friends about it and tell their friends than I would from like a newspaper article, you know?
Well, what's really weird too is I would rather get on a smaller website, say a blog that was 50,000 readers, than I would be in a newspaper that had 1 million readers. Because frankly, you'll get 10 times as many readers out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird thing. It's almost like getting press sometimes is bad.
Well, yeah. It's just a few days ago, I came out with a new T-shirt design, and a reader complained to me, said, "You know, this doesn't really look like something you would make. You should separate yourself by it by trying to sell it to Hot Topic or Walmart." And I'm like, you know, I can't think of anything that would be more damaging to my reputation than having one of my designs at Hot Topic.
You know, they'll just steal it.
Yeah, they will. And then you get that works for you though, because you say, "These bastards stole from me," and everybody gets behind you.
With reviews on blogs and things, it's better than reviews in magazines sometimes, because reviewers in magazines take themselves much more seriously than people just writing about things they really like. And it's easier to read someone who's enthusiastic and behind something and be like, "Oh, maybe I'll check that out." And if you read a review in a magazine where, you know, they're viewing it as their criticism is art, it's, I find it a little bit stodgy.
Not to mention the little blue words don't work in the magazine.
Exactly.
You can keep touching the little blue words. All you get is the underwear ad on the other side of the page.
You don't have to read people's comments either, so.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Well, the thing is for our medium too, it's like newspaper wasn't our medium to start with, so it almost makes sense that the best audience we can hope for are the people who read blog journals and stuff, because I know there's for some of our content we're a little chill, it's weird, but anyways, some of them might not be perusing your local newspaper's entertainment session to find out anything about us, or people who would be interested in our comic might not be browsing those sections as much. Whereas all the people who are scanning the web, looking at MySpace page, Friendster, whatever, this is where they'll find us. People who will connect to our webcomic, that's where they'll find anything is on the web. So that's why it's our home market, it's the web junkies. So why would we care if a newspaper gives us a bad or good review? It's like not our medium as often.
I think we're so negative.
I'm so negative.
Sure, I'm talking a lot about how much we all care.
I mean, if your webcomic gets a lot of big publications reviewing it, it might not be the most popular webcomic in the world, and that is a great thing to be. When you're a webcomic, you'll get lots of sales, but a different audience will buy your books because you're highly reviewed. There are webcomics that aren't even that popular, but they have all this, you know, this name behind them, and they do just fine with a smaller audience that likes their work so much that, you know, they buy every single little thing that comes up. And I think that, you know, being in a newspaper, you might not get 50 million new readers from it, but you might get somebody who never would have read a webcomic in their life, and they find you, and if it's the only webcomic they've ever seen, maybe they'll stick around. You know, you might get somebody from a different interest group. And it might not necessarily be high in quantity, but you might get some quality fans out of it.
What's really weird, though, is the people that find you through print venues like you're talking about will then think you're the only webcomic. I've met people who are like, oh, you're the cartoon on the internet. I'm like, and they really, it's very funny how people, what it's funny, though, is the people who come in through other media other than the internet and blogs land on the site and stay there. But people who come in through blogs will come in and then filter out to the 20 things you link to. Mm. It's very weird. You see it.
I was just nodding. I was really actually
talking about it. Do you see some sort of a value then, say, if you all got together and formed some form of a network?
Like Dumbrella?
like the internets?
Like the internet. It's all kind of talking.
Like most people now are doing webcomic communities, whereas a lot of you...
What's the,
for years and years.
Yeah, but that's like the YouTube.
Yeah, what's the, I'm not being antagonistic at all here, but what's the point of a webcomics community?
Exactly.
Well, no, if, like on the internet, if you know, I don't know, I'm wondering if anyone has an answer, I'm just asking.
One URL where you can see various different creators instead of trying to memorize 17.
What if you don't like one of them?
And that's what RSS is for.
Yeah.
Like on question mark content.
Yeah, I mean, like, we're all linked anyway, you know, through Kevin Bacon.
I think there's a difference.
People set this, we have Facebook groups set up, and we have MySpace groups set up. People will do that for you, and you don't really need, I mean, it doesn't have to be necessarily the creator that sets something up like that anymore. I mean, I didn't even know I had a live journal feed for my comics until, like, 6 months after it was out. And I didn't know I could read my own comics on my friend's page.
It, not to be like, I don't think I'm in any of those communities where I registered for a couple of them, but I think my suspicion is that there are places where other webcomics people in those communities read other webcomics people in those communities. I don't think, like, I think they're kind of, they might as well be gated, you know? I don't know how many people are going there from outside and reading them a lot.
It's mostly super users, you know, like the people, like big fans. People who want to be in on the thing, like that's where those little communities come in. But I think there's a distinction between having a site where there's a lot of cartoons together and a community, and I think you got to make that distinction for people.
Fair. Actually, by using the term community, I opened up Pandora's box. What I really meant was what group you all get together and have
kind of
one
collective
site. Like almost collective.
I don't even know if collective works. It's like, you're talking like an aggregated site of comics?
Well, sort of, yeah.
Like a comics page?
Like a comics page wherein you can almost take your audience and cross-pollinate it with five other people.
Like Ken said.
Maybe they'll like this stuff, maybe they won't.
That,
activate.
People
try to do that, but they turn into like ego fights.
I don't think it'll work just because, I mean, you've got to find a bunch of comics that everyone who likes one of them is going to like the other ones. Because otherwise, they're just going to go to the sites, the websites that they do like. And, I mean, there's really nothing to stop this going on to the websites right now. You can just bookmark the site, there's comics for it. It's not hard.
And plus, a lot of us make some of our money by advertisements on our sites per page view on our own personally owned site. So if you have a bunch of comics on one site, then you have to divvy it up like you know, well, Rich got 22,000 hits from his comic, and I got, you know, 13,000 through mine. And
plus, you got to find people that you like. And any webcomic creators? They are hits.
Over a long period of time, I don't see where it's useful. But if you're just starting out, if you just get your first webcomic, you got like 4 or 5, and you find a community that already has some established people, you send them yours, they link up. It's a good way to grow your readership quick, and then once you have some loyal guys, branch off, do your own thing. I think it's almost like a starting package, and I think that's how it can work for people. But it does, after a while, you feel like it's restraining you, or you're like, I remember we were with one really early on, and we got so busy with ours, and they're like, we want to do a group project where we do this, and we're like, man, we don't have time. It's like, I don't know how we're going to manage it. So we're still like loosely affiliated with them, and they're all good comics, but it's just like, it's almost like we slowly disassociated with it. So, but like I said, when it first started, our readership went from here to here because there's some really popular comics. Any of you know Ornery Boy at the time was a part of this thing called Day Free Press. And so stuff like that, and he got a lot of readership to us because there were different styles, and it really can be helpful when you're starting. If you're thinking of doing it yourself and you're like, yeah, this seems like a good idea, then yeah, totally go with a group. It's gonna shoot you up a little quicker. Then it's all about if you're any good to everybody's humor tastes and stuff like that. That will keep you going.
And then there's always one breakout star. It's like the video for Don't Speak by No Now. Everybody loses it. Bully Gwen Stefani.
Are you
who's Gwen Stefani of Umbrella?
Ryan Dorr.
Yeah. And then everyone else is getting late because they know Ryan Dorr.
Hell yeah.
Have that effect.
Appropriate time for us to open the floor up to questions to people who actually, read web comics. So why don't you take this gentleman first over here?
Just on sort of like the last topic, I thought political arts, but I was not very more like web comics, but the thing is that
there you go.
And sometimes it's not always the best way to get the writing down, but like seeing the art style that you like. And I was saying just sort of a point, in terms of the blacklist, I know that it's probably really easy to communicate and get that set up. Like one person's at a con, you know, and get people getting 2 weeks of guest comics. But how do you, like, I guess, in particular, how do you decide who you like? Like, is it something that's close to what your comics like, or something that's really different than like what you as a fan of comics yourself?
I can answer this pretty easily because we just did one in our comic not too long ago. And it wasn't really like we chose the people we like. We just put it out there on some of the forums and stuff like that, saying, hey, you know what, we decided that the character who really essentially is me in my comic was kind of comatose because he found out that he lost the girl of his dreams. And so he was tied to a dog. The dog left, brought me with him. And so it just started showing up in all these different comics. And then we just put it on forum, and some people would do it up and say, yeah, we'll get it done. We'll be there in a second. We'll send it off to you. And it was supposed to be like 5 comics. And then suddenly, people who read these other comics who also do their own web comics are like, can I put them in my comic? And I'm like, sure. And suddenly it turned into like 20 strips. But there is such a community that you can just post it out there at different places. Mention one guy, they'll mention the other guy. And that's usually how I get all the people to help out and do that kind of crossover.
In my experience, I've always just emailed people that I like and said, hey, will you please do a comic for me? And when they say,
works. Yeah,
yeah, it's usually all it takes. If they like your stuff, they'll say sure. And one thing I always really like about doing a webcomic as opposed to doing a comic in a newspaper page is that you have this infinite space as opposed to the finite space on a paper. So I can say, you know, I really like Dr. McNinja, check it out. And I don't feel like if they like Dr. McNinja, they'll then stop reading my comic. They'll just add it until they have 50 bookmarks in the morning. And so it's really this, I don't lose anything by saying, this is great. So you can really recommend stuff and have a guest week with all the artists that you really like and not feel like you're somehow selling yourself short.
But one last thing on guest weeks, though, is it's in my experience, I like asking people like Ryan does, because you can't take them all, and it feels bad if you can't run somebody's comic because they obviously put work into it. So after a couple times of having that heartache, I just kind of quietly ask people.
Yeah.
It sucks to say no.
So I'm going to do this. This might be a weird question, but if panelists could raise their hand if their practice with this webcomic is a primary source of income, is it more like they have a primary job they do on the side?
Wait, we're raising our hand for primary
income. People who are making money on webcomics.
See, that's a different question. That's a tricky question too, because again, like, my primary income right now is from illustration. My illustration is from my webcomic. All those contracts that I get are from the exposure I get through my webcomic.
Then yes.
So yes, I guess in that sense. But I mean, no, I'm not selling my webcomic, which is what some people are batting their heads against the wall trying to do.
But I would say though that you're getting illustration work from having a webcomic is no different than me or Ryan or Jeffrey selling a T-shirt because of a webcomic.
Well, exactly. So I mean, but
well, it's slightly different because it's like I get writing gigs based on the exposure from my webcomic, but that's you know, I'm making the money off of the writing. It's distinct enough, I think.
But it's almost like a webcomic is a portfolio. So even,
yeah,
even if you're not getting paid for a strip, you're still making money from it.
Yeah.
Kind of a live portfolio.
Yeah.
If you cut everything else out, are you surviving off of a webcomic?
Nobody is.
I'm forcing people to walk into my store by reading my free comic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And anybody who tries to make money off a webcomic alone is kind of a moron.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, you hate that big company.
No, I don't.
Yeah?
Okay. No, I cut that contract. I wasn't getting any money from them. Yeah, no kidding.
We're doing the industry. I know that print, especially newspapers, see incomes as a loss leader. A lot of that you're going to have to do the capital market, so you're going to look at what you would get. How much of that attitude do you think contributes to not these webcomics that are the mainstream art form media? And do you think that attitude could change?
Well, I think when webcomics sort of really started 5-6 years ago, 8 years ago, comics had a much more dirtier name than they had now, than they do have now. And I think part of that is because webcomics, I see people forwarding my comic and saying, you know, check out this comic, but it's not like a comic. It's not like what you'd expect going to a comic store. And it's people have this idea that comic stores are these sort of creepy, sweaty places when that really does a disservice to the entire medium. And I think webcomics have helped sort of show that, you know, you can have comics that are not about superheroes beating each other up, even though that's good. I love Batman, but you can do more with it than that. I think people nowadays realize that more than they did 10 years ago because there's comics that they can access easily that show this different sort of...
Well, there definitely is a different attitude because I know that DC Comics and Warner Brothers has also started getting submissions to do their own online content.
There's a Pandora's box.
So, like, I mean, they've seen something that they could get into, and so they're trying to get their hooks in while they can. So
it's kind of cute.
It's cute, but I mean, it's like, or there was the other company, 360 EP,
yeah,
that you got stuck into for a little while.
Yeah.
And the companies are taking notice of it, so it's not like they're trying to make it mainstream.
The other thing is, can I a quick comment on that, is that DC, companies like DC and Marvel right now are realizing how much of their money is generated through their properties. And so they're like, where is a place where we can get a lot of properties really quickly?
Let's rip these kids off.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. I didn't say that. And it seems a bit ham-handed. Like,
but they won't, it's not.
They are bullying, but it's just like they see where there's an opportunity. So it shows that the media is recognizing that there's potentials. It just hasn't been developed properly.
Yeah, but the thing is, I don't know, I think a lot of all of our successes is because we talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the larger companies who try to get in on that are going to blow it. I mean, they're only going to be as popular as they're advertising.
This is more just kind of a comment, but you guys are trying to define the term. It's not direct marketing. What you're talking about is a pull system. You create a demand for something before you sell it.
Yeah.
And that way you guys never end up with a basement full of comic books that no one is buying.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important from an environmental perspective.
Thank you.
It's also much easier for us.
I
sell
something, but I'm not going to tell you what it is.
No, but that's probably the best way I've ever heard of Chuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, which...
which Beatle is our favorite? Ringo. I'm just buying you time.
The guy who really needed that.
Yeah, half and half. It really depends on the person. I've had days where I didn't have a helper, and I was spending 80% of the time on the grunt work and 20% on comics, but now I'm doing so many comics, it's the other way around. I bet everybody's going to have a different percentage. Mm-hmm. Anybody who wants to throw some numbers?
I don't think that actually comes with the creative process, per se.
Okay.
Good. Yeah, but you mean like a helper for your t-shirt company, yeah. Not for your web comic.
God, that'd be nice.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
What are you paying it? Pay this person in.
Talk to them.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I know that Danielle does some stuff in the world.
Hooray!
Alone does freelance illustration and stuff. And I know Stevens there that has got in the papers now. Do you, any of you guys think of doing stuff for other people as well? It's just because, I mean, I know I love your individual comics. I just, aside from guest strips and stuff, because that's how that with Danielle's work was a guest strip comic for Wopsy Square.
That's sweet.
And it's just neat to see some of your art style's takes on other characters. I was just wondering if any
of
got plans to do that.
I think me and Chris would do Batman if we were hired. Anybody?
I've been writing dinosaur comics for the last year and a half.
I knew it.
Secret.
What's all with these T-Rex's erotic thoughts this week?
It's a good week.
I don't know. Anybody want to answer this question?
What do you mean do more? Do you mean like
more
put
collaboration?
The comic in more taking print on, venues? Do you mean more print work?
Taking on somebody else's character?
If somebody would offer them, we probably would.
Yeah.
I just wondered.
I'd love to see Batman in pixel art.
I have no interest. I have no interest in working on anyone else's ideas. Like I've got friends who do it, and they work their asses off, and often. It's like, I don't mind making crap as long as it's my crap, you know? I don't want to have to...
If I had the opportunity to do a really weird Iron Man, I think I'd do that. It would just be all roller skates.
Or like paint a dragon on the space shuttle or something, that'd be kind of cool.
Although that's space shuttle too.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, they've added new dragon technology to the space shuttle.
I think the cool thing about this is that, I know if you feel like you've probably heard of Cameron Stewart or something like that, and he has mentioned the other day that one guy came up to him and said, so what, you're doing Supergirl now, you're happy, things aren't going well, that's why you're doing this independent project. And he was saying, he's like, yeah, doing all these DC Marvel, that paid some bills, but I want to do my own thing. That's what his goal is not to get into big mainstream comics and do stuff. We started out that way. So doing other people's projects isn't really what we want to take on. We're happy doing our own projects. If we do something else, we're going to be happy doing our own new project. So I think that's what we're focusing on, is that if things grow really well.
But it would be fun to do someone else's thing if you could say no to it. You know?
Oh yeah, saying no to other things is great.
Like, if somebody said, somebody calls up and says, hey Chris, you want to do Batman, but you got to do it like this. And Chris is like, I don't need to do Batman, but can I, you know?
Wait,
I depends on what the Batman is. I'd be like, if I can do Girl Robin, I'll do Batman. You know? Like, you have that power. Yeah. Everybody's patient.
I'm just curious what challenges you guys have had with regards to bandwidth costs, hosting costs, whether it's leading from traffic to your own site or people hosting Boomer comics off your site, you know, ripping it off your own site, that sort of thing. And sort of what the cost of being and what you've done over time.
I had a $80,000 bill once. Sorry.
What?
My hosting company, I started with the beginner plan when I started my comic, and it was like $5 a month. And they never bothered to check up on me until 2 years later when I was using like 100 times what I was supposed to be using. And they said, due to overage charges, you owe us $80,000. Good luck. And so we settled in an agreement in which I would go somewhere else and they wouldn't talk about me anymore. But beyond that, it's really just the challenge to find someone good. Money isn't really a problem for hosting nowadays. It's pretty cheap.
Yeah, bandwidth is like junk bonds in the 80s. It's like, but they have to try to make it seem like it's worth something, so then they charge people $80,000.
Yeah. If you're having a bandwidth problem, it's probably the best problem you could want.
Yeah.
As a web creator.
I disagree with that.
I don't know, maybe there's too many girlfriends problems with too. Well, the first time I had a bandwidth problem was when I got a really high profile link from Warren Ellis, and I went over my bandwidth, but it was because all of a sudden there were thousands of more people coming to the site. It was a good one of those good problems. Meredith, go.
I had a situation when I went to San Diego Comic-Con a couple of weeks ago. We actually drove there from Massachusetts, so it was a pretty long trip. And while I was there, people started coming up to my booth and telling me that my bandwidth had been exceeded at the booth. That was, wow, what a privilege.
But she fixed it while in the car.
Right, well, on our way home from California, I had a laptop and I fixed the entire thing on the road. And just updating from Idaho, here I am.
Seriously, I'm sitting here driving and she's on the internet.
Typing curiously.
Fixing the database on her website.
So yeah, it's not the greatest thing that could ever happen, but I guess it makes for a fun adventure.
I'm guessing this man is serious. Imagine he has a serious future.
Oh, this one's serious. Before we ask the question, can I just say one more thing? He had a question about, one of the questions about hotlinking, which I don't know if other people let people do, but I didn't at first because there was a bandwidth concern, but now it's just, a lot of people, it's a lot easier than them putting it on their photo book, so just being able to link right to the site, and that way if I update the comic itself. Does everyone else do it that way?
Yeah, I don't really. It's kind of impossible to stop.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can put a setting so they can't do it. Every time you try to fight people like that, you're fighting the people who like you the best.
Yeah,
yeah. People can write scripts, though, that pull the comics down for them, and I had a guy who wrote the script wrong, and then was trying to pull down every single comic in my archive every second.
Yeah, but you also had a guy who...
54 gigs a day or something like that. Sorry.
But you also had a guy that redrew your entire archive with him in it. As
he did it over 300... He downloaded and printed 300 comics from my archives, traced them, changed the names to the characters in his mind, and republished them on his website.
That was amazing.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Am I answering a question? Well, I make some of my money from my other writing as well. So it's hard to put like 3 years, I guess, overall, before I figured out that I could make money off of it.
It took me 5 years.
Two.
It's been 5 years and I still don't make money off it. But we've turned down some lucrative offers.
Yeah. I think it took a couple of months before I started doing freelance full-time. Oh, thank you. Freelance full-time, but I think I took 2 years to get it to do just Girls with Slingshots online.
I still work a couple days a week, like an hour commute, and think about, you know, what I need, what t-shirts I need to sell to people.
I just started a few months ago. I'm still working full-time.
About 2 years. 7 months. Yeah, I think that's the record.
That's lucky. You didn't meet anybody else.
Well, oh, yeah.
And Jim Davis down there.
That was my oh, your anchor's the mommy and you're the dad.
Yeah, he's the daddy.
Okay. My question is, because of the immediate feedback that you get, do you ever feel pressure that if you get to know your audience, you're starting to cater more towards them than what you originally started out with as your dream?
I'm a sellout. Somebody got pissed off at Hazel and I just started making her a little bit nicer. She was getting to be kind of a bitch.
I don't know. Do you guys get hate mail? I get a lot of hate mail.
Hate mail? Jesus Christ,
where are these? That's
my problem. That's a stop, right? Yeah.
I've only forgotten 4 hate mails in 4 years. So 1 year, I look forward to it, and there it is.
On what, though?
They don't like it. I got 4 emails that they don't like the pictures don't change.
Wait, how many did they read?
Poser, which is a software that lets you like, have digital people posing. And he's like, maybe
and
you can
kissing.
Poser, yeah.
And he was acting as if I hadn't considered any other option than we're using these dinosaurs. Like, oh, took pictures of photos of your friends and stuff.
Or learn to draw.
But to answer the question, I'll sometimes write a comic and feel like it's 2 dinosaur comics, like I'm almost parodying myself. And then I'll change it because I feel like if I give people what seems to be too obvious, what they'd expect almost, that feels like you're falling into a rote. So I will change it if I feel like it's too easy.
We had some guy try to say, what you should do with your storyline is this. And we're like, well, that would be all right if it was your webcomic, and that's fine. But usually the only hate mail you get is like, so it's been like 2 weeks. Where's the new strip?
But we're better now.
This guy keeps raising his hand, I see.
I don't care.
Charge for it.
Don't worry about it.
Creative Commons.
Yeah. Unofficial Creative Commons.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Creative Commons is like there's a million different licenses you can get under, right? Like,
yeah.
I think I would. I'm really happy if anyone uses my image again on the web anywhere. They're all 72 DPI. Do what the hell you want with it. You know, you're not gonna print it anywhere and make it look good.
I've always pretty much just been, as long as you don't sell it and my name is still on it, I don't care.
Yeah. We had one instance of character theft, which was in like Iran, and they some guy, a fan who happened to be there, sent us a copy of his image, and it's clearly our character Ramon, who's like, this is him in an Iranian comic. Exact same, they changed the name, they had a couple of cups, and it's like, holy crap. So we just said, well, keep an eye out, if he keeps doing it, then maybe. But it was just a one-off homage. We're cool with that, because we've done that with people before, too. So.
Was there an Iranian Rob, too?
There was no Rob in this one. It's just Ramon with some coffee, but it's like, it's so
good. Tattoo, sir?
You. That's not a question. That's the opening line of like a Seinfeld joke.
Could you be more specific?
Were we? Were a lot of us?
Raise your hand if you were on King's Spot.
They only 15,000.
Oh, yeah.
One person. No, I just wanted to take a nice picture of
was that one of those rings?
I don't know what it's called. It's all girls. It's from King's Spot.
I think
you're
thinking about her.
Oh.
He's both going to be in the festival at the tables, and I'm sure that you have questions to ask
right over there
and purchase their fine products so they can continue to bring new web comics. So please, let's give them a